How about a fresh four-pack for this edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast? We are broadcasting this on Monday, August 19th. Whenever you're listening to it, I appreciate it, but I always try to tell you when it's being recorded. So if there's something that happens between the time we record this and you listen, you kind of give me the benefit of the doubt. You get to listen to these podcasts for free thanks to sponsors like Pin Chasers, four locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, including the new Brandon location that I'm trying to get to with Brandon Legal Group at some point here in the coming weeks. I was at the Veterans location just east of the Veterans Expressway, just north of the Tampa Airport last night for cyber bowling, unlimited cyber bowling last night. We had such a good time. I got my end lanes. I like my bowling lanes at Pin Chasers the way I like my draft position in fantasy football leagues. On the ends. That's where I like to bowl. And surprisingly, I was able to throw the ball at the head pin last night. That has been my problem for a long time. And last night, I didn't even give it much thought. I was with great company and just walked up to the line and fired it right at the head pin and did that pretty much consistently all night. Maybe it was the lighter ball. Maybe it was. It was a very light ball I was using. Or maybe it was the lights were out and it was cyber bowling. Something. The good company. Pin Chasers is Bowl Fest all August long. Buy one game, get one free. At all four Pin Chasers locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, visit pinchasers.net for more information, lane reservations, and to book birthday, private party, company outings, etc. Thank you, Anthony Peroni. I mentioned Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. They love going to Pin Chasers. They have been to the Brandon Pin Chasers. I am a paid non-attorney spokesperson conveying this simple message. If you are an adult male and you're a resident of the state of Florida, and you are paying permanent alimony, you're 13 months past an update in the law that would have eliminated or reduced your financial obligation. So don't waste any more time and money. Permanent alimony has not been law in the state of Florida since July 1st, 2023. You can't just stop paying on your own. You need a judge to help you do it. And Brandon Legal Group can assist. For a free consult, visit brandonlegalgroup.com or call 813-902-3576. Guys, stop paying permanent alimony. It's not the law in Florida and hasn't been for 13 plus months. Brandon Legal Group, your full service law firm. Email is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Here's the four pack in no particular order. Roughly 11 a.m. today, and I woke up around 9 a.m. and I had some coffee and I wasn't hungry yet. And I thought, I'll eat something in a bit. And a bit became 2 hours. And then I thought, oh, perfect. Recently, Publix went BOGO on Smucker's Uncrustables. I'm a fan. And I threw some PB Grape J in the freezer and PB Strawberry J in the freezer. I've done the peanut butter and honey. I think I'm good. Kind of lost my taste for it after a couple of boxes. I'm not a Nutella fan. So I stick with the traditional combinations. 11 a.m. I think, oh, an Uncrustable would be perfect. But it's in the freezer. And you're supposed to, according to the box, have it out of the freezer for roughly an hour before you enjoy it. And then I think you have 24 hours after that point. I don't know what happens after the 24 hours. I don't want to experience that. I hate the wait. Now, it's my own fault. All I had to do was pull that out of there when I was making my coffee, even as an option. Because, you know, later in the day, you can just pound that Uncrustable as a terrific snack. Friend and supporter of the podcast, Andrew DeWitt, accurately has said for years, it's one of the perfect golf snacks. My perfect golf snack is the Payday bar. You put them in your golf bag, they don't melt. Can't say that about a lot of candy bars. As far as the Uncrustable, it's something you can take out of the freezer and you bring with you to the golf course. And by the time you want to enjoy it, the hour has elapsed. I had to kill that hour waiting to enjoy, as I did just before broadcasting this podcast, my Smucker's Uncrustable. It's the Uncrustable wait. And if Smucker's thinks that's a wonderful idea for a new TV ad campaign, I'm available to showrun that for you. Would that be a showrunner or an ad runner? I'll have to ask Nick Bakai. But does anyone else hate the 1 hour wait? And has anyone else just said, essentially, fuck it, pulled it out of the freezer, and like after, I don't know, 5 minutes just said, I'm going for it? Is it that bad? Did you get sick? Was it off? Did you never do it again? I'm going with the recommendation of the hour. And sometimes I do wait multiple hours to just enjoy it later on. But I have played by the rules. After pulling the Uncrustable out of the freezer, anywhere from 1 hour to 24 hours later, somewhere in that window, I enjoy it. And that's what I did today. But I hate the Uncrustable wait. Could the Giants dump Daniel Jones before opening day? He was awful last year, and he's looked as awful this year, camp preseason. You hear about the contract, but let's talk about that contract. Let's talk about what's real. What's real is Daniel Jones' guaranteed base salary this year is $35.5 million. Yeah, I know. But believe it or not, the average NFL salary for quarterbacks not on a rookie deal is higher than that. Yeah, it's more like it's between 37.5 and four. It's around 37.5, 38, based on like last year's numbers. Such a bargain, Daniel Jones. Okay, so let's work with that. Guaranteed base is 35.5. Guaranteed. No guaranteed salary in the last 2 years of the deal. There's a trigger in like March that guarantees, I think, like 12 of the base salary. But the point is that the Giants are not on the hook after this season if they want to get away from him. And the contract could, you can basically cut the player. Is there some dead money? Yeah, there is, but it's doable. It's not like Russell Wilson dead money, which is over $50 million for the Broncos this year, and there's more on it. Broncos lead the league this year in dead money. By the way, number two in dead money for the league-leading Broncos in that category, Randy Gregory. The asshole just as discreetly as they could cut by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who tried to get a signing bonus and then never show up for work. Always a problem. One of those guys, if you see him walking towards you in a hallway, walk the other way. That's Randy Gregory. So could the Giants do, we haven't had one of these in a while, where you dump a big money quarterback. I mean, the Broncos did do it with Russell Wilson. They just ate it. All that they traded to Seattle, all the money they threw at Russell Wilson, and after 2 years, just done with it. The Bills kind of did that with Diggs, with Stephon Diggs. The Cardinals kind of did that with DeAndre Hopkins. Could the Giants just do it with Daniel Jones? I'm serious. Does this team really want to go to battle the first game with a quarterback playing like that? Or would you rather just, let's try something else. Let's just end this right now. Let Drew Lock and Tommy DeVito compete for the starting job. We almost drafted a quarterback last year in this most recent draft, and we'll go get one next year. But has Daniel Jones reached that point where Dable and the Giants organization are just like, you know what, the hell with it? Could they trade him? Could they trade him somewhere? Whether it's to compete for a starting job, Vegas, or as a very expensive backup for a team that has the cap room. John Lynch, San Francisco 49ers. As we broadcast this, Ayuk has no deal. There is no trade. The Niners have more cap room as of this podcast. This year, over $50 million in available effective cap space. Yeah, the Niners. Now, next year, they're $40 million over. But if Lynch wanted to, if Lynch didn't like, and Kyle Shanahan, say Kyle Shanahan came to him and said, I don't want another situation like 2 years ago where Brock Purdy goes down, we're screwed. And Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs aren't it. What can you get me? Would John Lynch say, do you want Daniel Jones? Or does that create too much of a Brock Purdy looking over his shoulder? Or is the problem that Brock Purdy makes next to nothing and Daniel Jones is standing on the sideline making $35.5 million guaranteed? I have a feeling the Niners could handle that. And as bad as Daniel Jones is, yeah, in a playoff game relief situation, I'd rather have Daniel Jones come in to a Kyle Shanahan-coached offense with McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle, that offensive line, than Brandon Allen or Josh Dobbs. The Niners could absorb it, and presumably the Giants sweeten the pot, you know, like the Rams did when they sent Goff and that deal to the Lions. Maybe not a number one, but something. Lynch has been shopping for, remember what the deal was in place for Cooper. For Ayuk. 2-5 and Cooper was what Lynch wanted for Ayuk before Ayuk squashed the deal in Cleveland. So that says Lynch has a value for future draft picks. He'd like a 2. Could he get a 2 and some wide receiver from the Giants in a deal with Daniel Jones? I got nothing to go on here. I'm just starting to come to the belief. On August 19th, we've got less than 3 weeks before the start of the regular season. Daniel Jones might not make the opening day roster for the Giants. They might just want to cut their losses on this. Recently, I talked in a podcast around Tropical Storm / Hurricane Debbie skirting my part of the state of Florida, and then more significantly impacting the Big Bend area of Florida and on into the southeast. running into too many people or hearing too many broadcasters use the cringeworthy term stay safe. And I asked, when did this start? When did this become a thing? Was it 9/11? The newsroom threw a shot at it, that show on HBO. And then it was beating the daylights out of in COVID. And I openly said, I think I dislike it more than the phrase, it is what it is, which is a complete waste of time, words, anything. It's also a cover-up. When you say it is what it is, what you mean is, it sucks. The it sucks. Just say it. You're not going to offend anybody. Just say it sucks. Another thing bothering me, and apparently this is, I asked someone recently in Atlanta if he hears this, and he said no, and he gave me an alternate, and I've heard about the alternate. I'm tired of men in, let's just say, a customer service position where you're interacting with a customer or a potential customer, calling me boss or boss man. Hey, boss. Sure thing, boss. No problem, boss man. Hey, boss. Hey, boss man, can I talk to you? You got it, boss man. When did that become a thing? And can I, what the fuck is that? My response should be, I'm not your boss, and if I were, you'd be fired. That's not customer service. To me, that's not acceptable. I'm not going to say I'm offended by it. I'm not that way. I don't like it. Why is that a thing? And when I don't respond to it, then they come back again with it if they're trying to get my attention. Sometimes I'm standing in front of them. There's a service they provide me. I've gotten this so much recently. It has been something I noticed for a while because I brought it up to a friend of mine, Al Romas, who is a very good stand-up comedian that I'm friends with. And I said, have you noticed this? Is there something here for material? As far as I know, he never used it. So I'm using it. Also, more proof, women are better than men. I've never heard it from a woman. No woman in a position of customer service or any scenario like that has said to me, hey, boss, man. Hey, boss, can I get you two? What do you need, boss? Hi, boss, man. How can I help you? No woman has ever said it to me. Only guys. I'm sorry. I don't have a bromance with you. I know you don't know my name. You don't need a name. Just do your job, and there are greetings that don't need an identification. Just eliminate it altogether. I may go off on some dude who thinks calling me boss or boss man is endearing. Again, it's not offensive. I just think it screams douchebag. And there were these two guys, sadly representing Spectrum, trying to sell internet and cable in a Walmart in Oldsmar recently, and they just epitomized douchebags. Hey, boss man. Hey, boss, can I talk to you? Douchebags. Women don't use the term. Never heard it. Also, it's not used on women, which I guess would be gender biased. Why would you not call a woman a boss woman? Why would you not call her boss? My friend in Atlanta and one other say they get big guy. Maybe I don't get that because I'm 5'9". and I'm not rather large. I don't know. I'm not complaining that I don't get that one. The other one is Chief, and I guess that should be going away because unless you're Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid or Travis Kelce, it could be viewed as insensitive. Finally, baseball-wise, I spent some real quality time recently with my longtime friend and fellow University of Miami alum, Jody Jackson. People in Arizona know Jody as a longtime television voice and face of various teams. She's done stuff for the Cardinals. She's done stuff for the Coyotes. And she does stuff for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And the Diamondbacks were recently in town to play the Rays. And Jody and I got together for a cup of coffee and talked as much as we could in the span of about 45 minutes about everything, which is impossible to do when you've known someone for decades who is a talented broadcaster and really good in terms of talking sports as well. Mother of two. At the time, her son is quarterbacking a college scrimmage that her husband is at in New Mexico. So there's a lot going on. Very enjoyable time. And I brought up to Jody, I said, hey, are you guys with the Diamondbacks going to talk on the broadcast about the six-inning proposal that isn't imminent, but the fact that it got out there says this might be the next step. Major League Baseball has taken steps to speed the game up and do other things to enhance their product. Rules on how you can reuse relievers, pitch clocks, how many times you can throw to a base instead of throwing home, how many times you can call timeout, basically audibilizers, you know, pitch calling devices that the pitchers have in their hat now or on their glove. So this six-inning thing has gotten out there. For those of you that haven't heard about this, Major League Baseball seems to be considering a rule that requires the starting pitcher for a game to go six innings, get a minimum of 18 outs. And also in the proposal is already the ways to eliminate getting around this. Oh, my guy got hurt. Okay, well, you can pull him, and then he has a mandatory stint on the injured list that starts immediately. So you can't claim it without him going on the injured list. And there's some other things. And then I heard Neil Solons on the Rays broadcast say there might be some rewards for you actually keeping your starter in six innings. It's interesting that I bring up the Rays because the Rays sort of introduced this idea of the opener. A guy who just goes out there to get you three outs in the first, and then we're going to use the bullpen the rest of the way. Or maybe gets you six outs or somewhere in between. I didn't know of an opener until the Rays did it. So the starting pitcher would be required to pitch six innings in all Major League Baseball games. And the first thing I thought of was, had that rule been in place in the 2020 World Series, the Rays and not the Dodgers may have won that World Series because Kevin Cash controversially pulled Blake Snell after 16 outs, 5 1/3 innings after 73 pitches, 9 Ks, 2 hits, and a runner on base. The Dodgers led in the series 3-2. The Rays led the game, I think, 1-0. Either 1-0 or 2-1. The reliever comes in, immediately gives up double wild pitch, RBI fielder's choice. Dodgers take the lead, win game 6, win the World Series. Also, let me add to this. The Dodgers had a key player, their third baseman, the redhead, test positive for COVID and wouldn't have been able to play game seven. So they would have not been at full strength. Had Cash been required to keep Blake Snell in to finish the sixth, the Rays may have led going into the seventh rather than the Dodgers and on from there. Changes the timeline, changes the possibilities. And I'll end this podcast with this. Remember the reliever's name? I do. Nick Anderson. Ironically, a few weeks ago, signed by the Dodgers because he hadn't done much and didn't do well that night in the 2020 World Series. So I guess we have to wait until 2045 to see if the trend holds of men named Nick Anderson costing Central Florida pro sports franchises championships every 25 years. Nick Anderson of the Magic in the 95 NBA Finals, Nick Anderson of the Rays in the 2020 World Series, and who knows where the Nick Anderson is, the kid, or hasn't been born yet, who costs, I don't know, the Buccaneers or the Lightning, or can we expand it beyond Central Florida, a team in Miami or Jacksonville, a championship in 2045. Two Nick Andersons, 25 years apart, both in Central Florida. Anderson bricks four free throws. Magic gets swept by the Rockets. Anderson comes in for Blake Snell. Dodgers take the lead. Rays lose the World Series. That's all I got for you today. Hope you enjoyed it. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. This is the Todd Wright Toddcast presented by Ping Chasers and Brandon Legal Group.